You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Saturday Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on the 20th of April. And we've got a very busy day on Easter Saturday as well. We're going to be bringing you racing live on Racing Radio from Musselburgh and also at Haydock. Those are sort of the two biggest meetings of the day. But we're also at Kempton, Carlisle, Newton Abbott, Nottingham and Brighton and... there's racing over in Ireland at Cork, but I think we'll be quite lucky if we're going to fit any of that in throughout the course of the afternoon because it's so busy. Here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and owner Tom Morley is with me. Hello, Tom.
Hi, John.
Are you well?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, it's been good form.
We're recording this on all-weather finals day.
Before my mood has turned.
Your Cheltenham Festival, this.
Are you ready?
I mean, obviously, when people listen to this, it'll probably be after, but just as an interesting retrospective, are you feeling confident in this stage?
Not really, no. I would say my chances probably at Lingfield rely on Rorcas in the first, so I'll be miserable from early doors.
Well, as I say, most people will be listening to this after the Good Friday card, so we'll... move quickly on to... well, we are going to take a look at Saturday's action in a minute, but also want to have a quick chat about what's transpired this week at Newmarket. The Flats season stepping up another gear with the Craven meeting. Of course, had a little bit of a switch around to some of the races this week as well. Would you be in the camp that the Craven meeting marks the beginning of the Flat season for you, Tom? The Turf Flat season?
Only in the fact that... it's really a disjointed start to the turf campaign, isn't it, in this country? I mean, you have Doncaster and then it sort of vanishes again for a little bit. So I think most people would have it down as when it really kicks into gear. I don't know why. I think especially this year with the all-weather finals day so late because of Easter being so late, maybe that's accentuated that feeling as well. I think it would be quite nice to ultimately be able to keep going from the turf as soon as Doncaster starts.
Doncaster kind of feels like a prologue.
It does.
It? And then
it all vanishes for a bit.
Chapter
like
one,
a rest
the
day
meeting.
Or two. But yeah, this is, I think, the Craven is probably when, as you say, it probably steps up a gear at the very least.
Well, we had some good performances. Of course, during the Craven meeting, we especially take a look at some of the promising young horses, as well as some of the races for the older horses as well. And the feature race of the week is the Craven Stakes. Scardoo won it this year, of course, for William Haggis and James Doyle. Had only had one race prior to that when winning when sent off a very big prize. It was won a Group 3 second time out. Is Scardoo going to be a horse that could be figuring in the guineas for you, Tom?
Well, Scardoo quite clearly has been a little bit of a surprise for Connections in that I don't think he went off a big price on debut because I don't think he has shown a huge amount prior to that at home. But clearly, you'd rather a horse that showed it on the race course instead of home rather than vice versa, like many do. So it's good to not have a Morning Glory horse. But
sounds like you might be speaking from personal experience.
I think most people will be speaking from personal experience at some point. No, look, it was a really good performance. I think Royal Marine probably underperformed and we'd expect that horse, I think, to step up on that run.
And I had no luck in running at all.
No. So I think, you know, Royal Marine should show up better. Scardoo deserves a place at the front. Obviously, a lot of, you know, revolves around perhaps with what announcement we're going to get shortly about Too Darn Hot. Because clearly there's been some issues there and they're meant to be making a decision, I think, over the weekend, aren't they?
And so, the vibes aren't great at this stage, I would
say. No, I think the very fact we're even talking about making decisions and stuff, that's usually a bit of a negative, isn't it? So, yeah, I think so. Scardoo would have a chance. Now, there's one factor I would throw in. It's not been a lot of rain recently, has there? And when I looked at the forward forecast... a day or two ago, and hey, we know the weather, people aren't necessarily good at predicting what's going to happen in the same week, let alone further ahead, but I could see lots of rain due at Newmarket in that week before the Guineas.
Mm.
That could throw a whole different perspective on it, couldn't it?
Yeah.
So I think on top of any normal concerns when looking ahead and anti-post markets and stuff, you might want to throw that thought in as well. So yeah, I think Skardu's up there. It couldn't have done more than what it did. It's beaten a couple of slightly longer priced horses in the race. As I say, Royal Marine underperformed a bit from what we perhaps anticipated, but hey, you can only win, can't you? And this horse has done it twice.
Let's take a look at the prices at the moment for the 2,000 guineas. This is at time of recording. Too Darn Hot, 5-2 with us here at William Hill. 7-2 Persian King. Magna Gratia is 5-1. 10 Sovereigns also 5-1. Skardu, there he is at 8-1. 10-1 Calyx and Royal Marine, and it's 12-1 and bigger for the rest. Interesting picture there, Tom, because you've got horses that that either currently is or have been injury concerns in the past. You know, Too Darn Hot and Calyx.
Yeah.
Horses like 10 Sovereigns, where you don't really know if they're going to get the trip. It's quite a mixed picture at this stage.
It is, and I think if you haven't really played so far, would you bother playing now, or would you actually wait till it sort of does clear up a bit? Yeah, you might lose a point or two if two of the favourites come out, if you're going for a slightly longer price one, but yeah, I still think that's probably the better idea to do now. As you say, this is always the thing, isn't it? The winter's a long time for horses, and aside from issues, some simply don't train on. So, and then you've got Aidan O'Brien, who quite often has a battalion that we've never even seen before the year of the Classics. So it is a tricky one. I thought Too Darn Hot was, to be fair, its name. But whilst the uncertainties are going on, I wouldn't touch it.
Well, that is Newmarket this week, and a brief look ahead to the Guineas there. Now let's look ahead in a slightly more short term to the action on Saturday. We've got lots of stuff to look forward to on Saturday, Tom. Musselburgh, of course, got their Queen's Cup card, and Haydock have got that series challenger final. Kempton as well with a listed race, one of their better cards of the year. But you've got away from all of that. And you've got two selections of the supporting meetings.
I have. I should have one or two runners at Kempton. And I've got a runner at Nottingham, actually. But I am going to go to Nottingham for one of my selections. And no listeners are allowed to laugh at this.
Okay.
It's the 4:30 race, the 5 furlong 0-65 handicap. You know, it's hard for me to say live on air my selection is gamesome.
Good thing we're not live then.
This is true. Instead, people could just listen to it over and over again on loop. Look, I know Gamesome's won from 47. I mean, it's the biggest cliff in the world for those who like to support and follow particular horses. But I'm confident this is the day for victory number two.
And attempt number, what is it, 45, 46 48. After the first?
Oh, yeah, because it was about second time out or something, wasn't it? He won. And, you know, August 2013 is a long time ago. But where did he win his one race?
Well,
Nottingham.
Yes. I was going to say Nottingham, but I've got the form in front of me, so I might be cheating a little bit.
So, you know, he's won from one at Nottingham. So there's a little side thing as well. And I know the win was at 6 furlongs, but it was a long time ago. He's never been back here until now. He's had a few warm-ups on the all-weather. I'm not sure that's ever really ideal for him. Back on grass at Musselburgh at the start of the month. Bounced back to some form, finishing second. The winner actually of that race is decent at the grade, so I don't really begrudge Gamesome coming second to that, and I'm not sure Musselburgh being such a sharp track is really Gamesome's sort of perfect scenario. And Gamesome had an outside draw, so he stayed on all too late. But Nottingham, not sharp, and if he's a bit slow away, I think he's got plenty of chance to get competitive in time. Come on, he can win off 64. And those who back him can say they were there. On his side, on that day, he finally came good.
There's going to be a statue in the parade ring if he wins on Saturday. That's what I've heard.
He should never go to another track if he wins on Saturday. You know, he's got a good jockey booking as far as this type of race goes. And, you know, maybe we can coax him over the line. I think the other thing that helps is the opposition. You know, Mutabahi hasn't been doing it on the all-weather. He's out of form. Major Valentine's not been out since October. Usually needs a couple of runs. Paco Ekestar. Now, this could be a bit of a fly in the ointment, especially as it used to be trained by Paul Midgley. So that would be a bit of a a bit hurtful if that goes and he's the one to beat Gamesom. But, you know, again, Paco Ekestad hasn't been seen for a few months, so let's hope he'll need the run and can stay a maiden for a little bit longer. Flying Foxy might improve for a reappearance at Savile, but, you know, does need to build on it. You're Cool, £21 lower on the turf than the all-weather, but he's a maiden on the turf. And last season, he was also much lower on the turf, and he didn't look like taking advantage then. Royal Mesian, not quite as frustrating as Gamesom, but, you know, his winless streak only goes back to 2016, so quite recent in this context. But he's just been running okay. Pearl Noir, not been in the best form on the all-weather. Might get some pace, though, which will also help Gamesom. TP Time, that's been off for a few months, in no form when last seen. Coastal Cyclone's been struggling. Swendab's a veteran, but he hasn't looked at his best recently, and I think I'd want to see some signs of him hitting form before getting onside. So, the track, the mark, the opposition, it's Gamesom's time.
Game time for Gamesom in the 4:30 at Nottingham on Saturday. That's Tom Morley's selection live here on Racing Radio as well. So make sure you tune into that. Now, we'll hear your other selection in just a moment, Tom, and get into that. But I mentioned as well that the feature flat card of the day is at Musselburgh. The Queen's Cup is the feature race. And let's hear now from Gordon Brown, because he's given us selection in the race.
Queen's Cup's never went to Mark Johnson. He's got four runners in this year's race, and I think he might fall short again. I think Ulster will win it for last year's winning trainer, Archie Watson. The Lambourne Raider's been in great form in the all-weather, and Holly Doyle is going to be my winning jockey in the 2019 100 grand Queen's Cup.
It's Gordon Brown on the action at Musselburgh on Saturday. My name's John Gibby, though, in the studio with Tom Morley to take a look at some of the other races coming up on Saturday. And Tom, now your other pick, this is interesting, because this is a track where I know lots of people don't want to be putting up horses. It's Brighton.
Yeah, and I possibly have gone against those people even more by picking a horse who hasn't been there against a couple who have been there. And my selection here, I mean, it's a fairly modest affair, this 7-furlong race, is the Richard Hughes-trained gelding Creek Harbour. Gets first-time blinkers today. And, you know, the first chance I am taking is, can the horse actually go on turf? Because it's not had many, well, I think it's had one chance, in fact. And, of course, the ground's going to be pretty quick. And then, as you say, Brighton is a fairly unique test. So, Creek Harbour. Sometimes quirky tracks like Brighton can suit a bit of a quirky horse. And Creek Harbour is a little bit quirky. So I was hoping that this might actually bring out the best in him. He moved yards for £4,000 in November. Immediately actually won a race for these guys at Wolverhampton in a maiden over seven. The horse he beat into second, Tiger Eye, was having his debut there. And that's rated 91 now. So, you know, I don't know what Creek Harbour's been going. He's been going the opposite way up to now. And the horse has been frustrating. He pulls hard. He was caught wide the race after. He again was too keen, stepped up to a mile after that at Chelmsford. They then tried to send him to the front in races after that, including in a 10-furlong claimer. He didn't get home. Not a great surprise to me, I have to say. Last time at Kempton, back at a mile in cheap pieces. That was a better run, fourth. Now they drop him back to seven, which, to be fair, I would almost be wanting to run him over six, but seven's going the right way. And I think that's a good move. And with that downhill bit, he'll be able to freewheel a bit. And hopefully that keenness will sort of, won't take as much out of him as he freewheels down the hill. The handicappers continue to drop him. I mean, he's got to be competitive at this trip now, as long as he should. I don't really see why he shouldn't go on grass. So Creek Harbour's my selection. And again, as I say, the opposition, I don't think amount to much, though there are a couple who do like the track. I mean, Perfect Symphony's not shown anything on the debut for this yard. The Little Engine occasionally surprises, but most times recently it's been a struggle. Yeah, hasn't got any experience really of the grass either. N over J, been off since December, wasn't in great form. Blessed to Impress is now well handicapped, but that's because she's lost her form the last couple of months. However, she has won at the track, so you can say that's a plus for Blessed to Impress, but it was over a furlong shorter. Marzell, what can we say about him? He's a bit tricky. He doesn't often win either.
Very diplomatic of you.
Yeah, I'll pass on him. Reavers Rob Roy, course and distance form. I expect that will see some support. But his recent efforts just suggest he's exactly where the handicapper wants him. And I think it's got to fall in place perfectly to let him score. More salutes, not setting the world alight. And Malaysian Bolet, generally runs the same type of race and finishes about 4th or 5th. So I'm going to go for Creek Harbour to get back on track.
Okay, Creek Harbour, the pick for Tom Morley in that 6:20 at Brighton. He's playing Racing Russian Roulette by Picky Horse. It's never run at the track before, but will it be a running debut, a winning debut at Brighton? We will find out at 6:20. Make sure you tune into Racing Radio throughout the afternoon for all the day's action. There is plenty of it to enjoy as well, including some good quality stuff. And on to Sunday as well. We've got a busy Sunday of action with it being Easter Sunday. Ferry House getting underway. Great few days of racing coming up, so make sure you're with us for all of that. And tomorrow again for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.